These are the Get Over Yourself podcast sponsors. Mofo, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone naturally. Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece, a mind-blowing nut butter blend. Carol Fit, stationary bike, awesome 8-minute workout. Organifi, whole food organic superfood supplements and drink blends. Perfect Keto, the cleanest, highest potency ketone supplements. Viori Clothing, fashionable, functionable, incredibly comfortable performance apparel. And please visit the bradkearns.com shop page for my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance. And here we go with the show. It's all about a healthy, balanced approach to a sport that can easily become obsessive, out of balance, and overtrained, unhealthy. When I tell people that I had no fruit for the past 9 months, people gasp. It's similar when I question the health benefits of vegetables like broccoli. If I had to convince anyone to become a fat-burning beast, I would emphasize the mental benefits first. Clarity of thinking and general lack of depression. The seeds and the basic building blocks of the plant, those are the things that have the most anti-nutrients, the most plant toxins in there, because the plant is trying to protect itself from predators. It's time for a breather show. Yes, nose breathing throughout the day can help facilitate a beautiful balance between sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system function, keep you relaxed and chill and even more focused. So pay attention. Try to breathe through your nose. Try to be aware of it, because when we start to get into high stress patterns, this is associated with shallow panting breaths that stimulate sympathetic nervous system function. And I notice myself when I have too many windows open or I'm getting into something really intense, even when I'm sitting on my butt looking at computer screen, I can catch myself doing that shallow panting breathing. So taking control with some deep diaphragmatic breaths. And when we talk about nose breathing, the idea is that you are getting less air intake, so you have to be more deliberate and more focused on taking those deep diaphragmatic breaths where you engage the lower abdomen. You actually inflate. You want to think of the idea of inflating your lower abdomen upon inhale and then filling up your lungs, expanding your lungs outward, but first expanding that lower abdomen, then expanding the lungs outward to use your entire lung capacity. That's when you engage the oxygen-rich lower lobes of the lungs to get a full exchange of air. And then you can exhale with some relaxation and you're in a nice nose breathing, diaphragmatic breathing pattern. And then you're ready to tackle some challenging questions and answers and great comments from the listeners. Why don't you participate by sending an email to getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. Love hearing from you. Love feedback on the show, suggestions, and of course the questions. We had some questions from Messiege before and he had a little follow-up note. So he says, you know, I want to emphasize that keto lifestyle is not for everyone. It's hard to explain all the benefits to someone who's not interested in changing or trying something new. Yes, what an excellent point for those of us on a health kick and embracing the ancestral lifestyle movement, which in many ways is in huge opposition to conventional stupidity, general dietary recommendations of the U.S. government or the mainstream authorities, and so wasting your breath, just like in politics, I think, when you're arguing about the issues at hand with someone who believes differently, probably a waste of each other's breath, right? It's very difficult to change people's minds. Mark Manson talks about that in his most recent book, Everything is Fucked, a book about hope, where we like to think that we're open-minded, but we're really way more closed-minded than we perceive ourselves to be. And then in tandem with that, we judge other people to be very closed-minded and think that we're open-minded. That's our baseline belief system. Pretty funny, backed by research. So if you think you're open-minded, open-minded, try to be even more open-minded. And if you encounter people who seem to be closed-minded, you're probably right, but give them a little bit of break because you're probably the same way. Gordo Byrne, I've had his content on the podcast too from his wonderful blog about family fitness and finances. And he wrote some observations about the recent election, and he used this term PPO. He was talking about the strategy and how to win the election and the different vote gettings compared to 2016. And he says, there's a certain percentage of people on either side of the political spectrum who are PPO, permanently pissed off. And I think in that group, they have good and valid reason to be. But I, after reading the article, I was like, yeah, I don't want to be one of those people who are in the PPO category, whatever category, whatever distinct category I'm in. It's not a great way to go through life. So trying to tone down the level of my intensity toward people who have opposing beliefs to myself and not be PPO, just be more open-minded and more relaxed and try to focus on things that I can control, like helping all you guys out, your listeners and readers of the books, and then kind of let things go that you have absolutely no control over. Okay, how about that? And then back to Maciej's note. It's difficult to, waste breath on people who aren't interested in changing. When I tell people that I had no fruit for the past 9 months, people gasp. It's similar when I question the health benefits of vegetables like broccoli. If I had to convince anyone to become a fat-burning beast, I would emphasize the mental benefits first. Clarity of thinking and general lack of depression. Hey, pretty cool. Thanks a lot for that follow-up. Okay, next is from Mick, and he's writing in from Ireland. And isn't it nice to hear from listeners around the globe? I love that. And Mick says, I love the podcast. It's one of the few that I listen to that's both entertaining and I can actually learn something from. Hey, what a nice compliment. Thank you. All right, keep up the good work. And speaking of pig's ears, can I eat these things or should I just add them to my bone broth for their gelatinous quality? That sounds like a great ingredient to add to bone broth. And of course, properly preparing the bone broth at home entails putting it on low in the crock pot for up to 48 hours. And that's when you really get the leaching out of the gelatinous material, the collagen, the glycosaminoglycans, those great agents that are contained in bones and joint material. And you can drink it and get something that's really difficult to obtain in reasonable portions in the diet. And we have such a great need for those. Dr. Kate Shanahan, Deep Nutrition, and her new book, The Fat Burn Fix, talking about how throughout ancestral history, we've had regular access to this joint material because we ate the animal in nose-to-tail fashion, and we saved everything, including boiling out the bones and making broth. And so now today, it's sort of a forgotten aspect, except for the fact that the product categories becoming more and more popular. People are making really super high quality bone broths that you can buy in the store. My friend Nell Stevenson has a product. You should Google that and see if you can find it. And there are many great companies out there. Bonafide Provisions, I had Sharon Brown on the podcast, the founder of that company. So you can source some really high quality gelatinous bone broth in the store. Not to be confused with what should be most appropriately called stock. So if you go to the store and you see those cartons of beef stock, chicken stock, sometimes they call it beef broth or chicken broth. That's not really broth in the sense that you're getting all the health benefits of these gelatinous ingredients. So a true bone broth will be gelatinous when it's refrigerated, and only when you heat it up does it turn into liquid. If you had that liquidy stock in the cardboard box that you use sort of as a base to make something in the crock pot, that has much less nutritional benefit. And that's why it costs $1.79 at Trader Joe's for chicken stock or beef stock, rather than you can see some of the prices on these bone broth products are pretty expensive for a small amount. That's because it's a super food. So definitely pull the trigger. There's also some nice powdered bone broth products out there now that I've been using that are a little more affordable, but make a concerted effort to get more bone broth type foods and joint material into your diet and honor your ancestors cultures has so many wide-ranging benefits in the body, hair, skin, nails, joint material, and also believed to have wonderful benefits for heal and seal properties in your gut and addressing the very common health condition of leaky gut syndrome. I was just reading something from a coach, a practitioner, saying that they're something like 80% of the clients come in with leaky gut symptoms. You can go to nourishbalancethrive.com and take their quiz. It's a free 7-minute quiz where they're predicting some of your health considerations based on your answers to the quiz. Chris Kelly, the software developer, doing that genius stuff. And you will very likely come up with symptoms of gut dysfunction, leaky gut, and the bone broth can help kind of heal up those tight junctions in your intestines, which have become permeated by toxic foods, especially grains, gluten, and other things that irritate the gut lining. Okay, so there's the plug for bone broth. And yeah, Mick, go for it. Put those pig's ears into the crock pot and cook them up. And then finally, Mick says, hey, I would love to hear you try an Irish accent on your podcast. Oh, lad, I can't do an Irish accent because I've never been there, nor to the Republic of Northern Ireland where Belfast is located. I would love to visit someday, since my ancestry DNA indicates that I'm 98% Ireland and British Isles in my stock there. But I don't drink beer now, so what the heck would I do there in Ireland? Besides, play golf on the great links courses of the world, such as Royal County Down in Portsmouth. Thank you for listening. Get to the next question quick, please, please. John Bennett writes in and says, hey, I hope you're doing well. Wanted to drop you a quick line and let you know how cool it was that you read and offer some thoughts on my email. I wasn't having the greatest day, but when I listened to the Breather episode, it totally changed my mood to hear you read my letter. All right. That's what I love about your podcast, your wide-ranging info and also positive and fun to listen to. Hey, another compliment. Why, thank you, peoples. I appreciate that. It's hard to find a venue that is not totally polarized these days, whether it's politics, culture, food, exercise, whatever. You either have to agree with what someone says or you're wrong and a bad person to boot. It's great to hear various perspectives and actual conversations when people disagree, even on your show. I love listening to Chris Kelly because you're both more interested in common ground and people doing 90% of the things that make them healthier and happier than arguing over the little differences. You're not concerned about being perfect, trying things by feel, experimenting with new diets, new approaches, listening to the body, all great stuff. And then he talks about his son, who's a big guy at 15, lifting weights seriously, and he's following advice from bodybuilders and strength coaches about training nutrition. Cool things to see, especially as a teenager. He's cleaned up his diet on his own, eliminating sugar, processed foods, snacks, and adding back more good stuff and developing a feel for how food impacts his body. Same with his workouts. He's getting a good understanding of training for health and long-term versus short-term gains and injury risk. So I've been really impressed to see that. And hey, I'm looking forward to trying the macadamia masterpiece when it hits the market. Thank you, John Bennett. And that's the commercial product plug of the show. It's on the market, man. You can go to bradventures.com and try this out. It is the most incredible nut butter blend that you'll ever try. And I gotta say, just about every consumer we've heard from has said it's absolutely delicious. So I think we nailed the flavoring and you really like it. And at bradventures.com, you can buy 3 and get 1 free. You can buy 6 and get 2 free. And you can get free shipping over $100. And because you're listening to the podcast, I will give you a top secret code to get 10% off your order in addition to the buy free, get 1 free. What a deal. And the code is Brad 10. So go check it out at bradventures.com. And back to the show from Patrick Halley. He says, hey, Brad, I just read your old triathlon book published in 2005, Breakthrough Triathlon Training. I love the philosophy. Several of your points I've used in my ultra marathon training and events, and will use more points as I train for my first triathlon. Hey, guess what, Patrick and others? I have comprehensively edited, revised, and updated that old time book, and I'm going to republish it under the new title of How to Improve Your Triathlon Time. Get it? How to improve your triathlon time. Have a better time. I hope you get it. Anyway, that's coming out to Amazon pretty soon. Pretty exciting. So I updated a lot of the commentary. It's all about a healthy, balanced approach to a sport that can easily become obsessive, out of balance, and overtrained, unhealthy. Okay, so Dennis from Seattle says, hey, what's up? Do you have a rough template for the season after the two-month aerobic base building period? So he's talking about content in Primal Endurance and other books where we talk about the great benefit of starting out your competitive season as an endurance athlete or even as an athlete in many other sports with a minimum two-month period of aerobic base building where you focus specifically on workouts in the aerobic heart rate zones, very comfortably paced, building up your endurance, building up your energy, improving the resiliency of your muscles, joints, and connective tissue before introducing those high intensity workouts that can contribute to competitive success and help you make quick fitness breakthroughs, but they are best performed when you have a nice, strong base going. So that first couple months of the year, take it easy, keep that heart rate low, and just go out there and work on conducting some of those over distance workouts where you stay out there for a long time, learn how to be on your feet or on the bike seat for a long time, and then and only then consider jumping into recreational races or doing those high intensity workouts. Dennis says, I'm feeling great. And I want to eventually get into trail run competitions, mountain biking, things like that. So if you're feeling great in your aerobic base training phase and you're itching, you're chomping at the bit to go try some high intensity workouts, that is the best time to go and do them. But I want to make that distinction from saying, hey, it's March 15th and now it's time to go do your intervals, even though it's raining and snowing and your body's a little tired or your knees feeling a little balky. So you want to have everything lined up nicely where you're 100% rested and motivated and fully energized for those workouts where you go into the high intensity and race preparation type of workouts that are more stressful than the aerobic workouts. So there's no rules or strict guidelines there, but definitely making sure you're ready and then starting slowly and leaving some in the reserve. So you don't have to go break yourself on the first few high intensity workouts of the year. You can expect to improve gradually rather than try to chomp off too much and then suffer a setback such as an injury or delayed recovery time because the workout was too much for your current capacity. And then he's also asking, do you have an experience or input on zero carb carnivore diet? I'm just curious to hear your input in the endurance parameters. So people that have long distance endurance training and competitive goals, and then going into this extreme restrictive diet where if you're going hardcore carnivore, you're getting little or no carbohydrate. And in general, that can present a bit of a problem, can't it? Because you're going to need a certain amount of carbohydrates and stored glycogen to get through a typical training program of an endurance athlete where you're putting in hours and hours of work. But as some of the leaders in the scene have shown, people like Zach Bitter, who talks about this a lot in his Human Performance Outliers podcast, Timothy Olson, two-time winner of the Western States 100-mile run, and Mike Morton, who performed the extraordinary achievement in earlier in 2020, where he ran 100 miles in 18 hours, quite a fast pace, with no calories. So the fat-adapted endurance training movement is here to stay. It seems like a real breakthrough and has continued further performance potential for people to go really long distances without requiring a lot of onboard calories or any onboard calories in the case of these extreme results. Dude Spellings also, my main man, Dude Spellings, who's been on the podcast, did the historic double crossing, the epic double crossing of the Grand Canyon, which is around 50 miles and many thousands of feet of climbing. And he attempted to do that on no calories. He had to reach for some nut butter at some point so he could get up the final rim to the top. And then upon completing this 13-hour extreme endurance challenge, instead of feasting on pizza, there was a big stack of pizza boxes for him and his crew waiting for them at the top of the South Rim, he decided to fast overnight in order to facilitate recovery. We talk about this in our upcoming book, And I've talked about it on the podcast too. I think it's an amazing breakthrough in philosophy to think that in a fasted state, we may be optimizing recovery rather than requiring this massive calorie consumption as soon as we get home from extreme endurance workouts. So if you're going at an aerobic heart rate, you don't have as much requirement for glucose as you do when you start speeding up. So someone who's in a bicycle racing pack, if they're a Cat 2 or Cat 3 racer and their heart rate's getting up there for long periods of time, as you can do in biking, is a little bit different case than someone who's trying to plod along all day on an ultra or a long distance ride where the heart rate is in comfortable zone and you're burning mostly fat. And so this requires a lot of personal experimentation, but I think for many endurance athletes, that performance variable of your body weight or your strength to weight ratio is a big one. And a lot of people are working hard, putting in a lot of hours of training and carrying excess body fat. So I think the power of this carnivore diet, one of the main attributes of it, besides healing from possible plant reactivity, which we've talked about on the show, one of the main attributes is that it'll facilitate quick and efficient reduction of excess body fat due to the fact that you're not consuming hardly any carbs. So you're not producing a lot of insulin and you're feeling highly satisfied from these nutrient-dense meals that are really filling. So it's not a struggle and suffer ordeal. You can actually adhere to it for 30 days or 60 days, get rid of that unwanted body fat, and then strategically reintroduce carbs as you see fit to support your performance goals. But I think getting those body composition goals handled out of the gate can be really powerful and lead to, you know, great performance breakthroughs down the line. All right. Thanks a lot for that question. And then we get to Steven Rader. All right. Check his game out at formiseverything.com. He presents some wonderful videos and written commentary about doing a variety of strengthening, flexibility, mobility moves, progressing from the basic squat to the more difficult one-legged maneuvers. And he's been a great resource for me. And now I've implemented into my my world-famous morning routine. Go check out the new video on YouTube, Brad Kern's Morning Routine, where I go through everything that I do. But I finish off with the hover lunges, which he taught me, as well as the drinking bird. And so these are two extremely difficult single leg squat exercises, and it's been really great to try to increase my competency in things that require a ton of balance. So especially if you're someone who likes to go to the gym and weight up that heavy bar and go down and do a set of squats, and isn't that great? But have you tried anything with one legged and noticed whether you have competency with basic balance? So the hover lunge is basically doing a single leg squat without holding on to anything, and the drinking bird is kind of doing a single leg deadlift, if you will, where you're bringing your torso down to parallel to the ground and then standing back up with that raised leg extending out parallel with your torso. So you know, like the little toys, the little bobblehead on a spring, those drinking bird toys, or that's, I guess, where they got the name from it. Anyway, Steven says, aside from fitness for a moment, his area of interest and expertise, he's talking about diet for a second. Hey, Brad, I really want to hate carnivore, but I can't ignore it. Your written piece has persuaded me to get out of this mindset that carnivore means vegetables and fruit are bad and you can never eat them again. I love vegetables and fruit and lentils and chickpeas, but I do have nagging inflammatory problems and belly fat that I'd like to remove. What's your experience with carnivore? I also noticed Mark Sisson talking about it a lot on Mark's Daily Apple. So, okay. You know what, Steven? If you can just do those hover lunges every day, you can eat anything you want. How about that? And for the rest of us listening, as you're probably familiar with, I've been on this carnivore-ish pattern since early 2019 when I was first exposed to the ideas of the leaders like Dr. Sean Baker, Dr. Paul Saladino. And I think I'm going to conclude that I've made a pretty significant and long-term lifestyle shift in my diet after many years of being pretty much locked into a primal paleo ancestral style eating pattern, including trying to emphasize the wonderful array of plants from the plant kingdom, the big piles of produce that I'd stir fry and serve to my family when we had gatherings, and going out and getting the giant salads. That kind of has transitioned out of my diet the more I think about and learn about the carnivore rationale. I no longer go looking for big loads of produce to consume every day, and I'm embracing the realization that the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet are the animal foods, nose-to-tail style, and the superfoods in the animal category, such as organ meats, such as oily cold water fish. And pretty soon, you'll see on my social media, and we'll talk about it on the podcast, I've been working on a project inspired and together with Kate Ouellette Kretzinger, who's been a guest talking about her marathon bicycle exploits on the carnivore diet. But we've created this chart called the Carnivore Scores, where we rank the most nutrient-dense foods in the animal world and also talk about the least offensive plant foods to integrate into the diet. As Stephen says, you want to enjoy your life. You love certain vegetables and fruit. You don't have any reactivity. You can carefully integrate these things, but there could be a lot of people suffering from nagging, immune, or inflammatory problems that might get a huge benefit with a restrictive diet. And so this is a very common strategy in the functional health world, is to try to eliminate things in your diet. And a carnivore would be probably the most simple and practical way to do an elimination diet, because animal foods are minimally reactive compared to all the plant foods and the allergies that we're familiar with. So if you wanted to try a 30-day carnivore experiment and get rid of all plants and then, you know, slowly add them back in and see what your tolerance is like, you can tell possibly things that have been causing big problems in your life, but have been lingering there forever because we widely recognize them to be supremely healthy. And I give my example of making my super nutrition green smoothie every single morning with big piles of raw kale and celery and spinach and beets, and then experiencing stomach bloating and transient digestive pain in the hours following every single time. And having a conversation with my friend who was also on the green smoothie game and a really health enthusiast. And he said, well, it gives me stomach pain too, but it's so healthy that it's worth it. And that comment stopped me in my tracks because I thought, you know, if something's super healthy and these foods are so healthy to consume, why am I getting this gas pain, bloating, and things like that after I consume them? And so we now know that raw vegetables in particular, even though they have high nutritional value, are much more difficult to digest than cooked vegetables. And some of the lauded superstars in the vegetable kingdom can have the most reactivity. And this includes leafy greens and things like that. So it's definitely a movement that's here to stay. It's got a lot of science behind it. The leaders are doing a good job explaining it and providing reasonable and sensitive rationale. And you can look at meetrx.com. That's Sean Baker's operation and many others behind that. And you can read these remarkable healing stories of people that have kicked these long-term digestive irregularities, nagging inflammatory conditions by going to the carnivore diet. So if you're a sufferer and you've tried traditional approaches to healing and they're not working, I would strongly recommend an exclusionary diet. And if you're interested in losing excess body fat, same thing. And then we can go from there. And if everything's great and you feel fantastic, you know, why change anything? But I think we can always strive to, you know, improve and see how things can go. I never thought I would second guess my tremendous emphasis on vegetables, super nutrition, green smoothies, and things like that. But I have tried to maintain an open mind and think critically at all times. And I guess if you're resistant, like Stephen shares at the outset, I really want to hate carnivore, but I can't ignore it. If you're feeling resistant in that way, I think this is a great way to exercise your skills of critical thinking and open-mindedness and test things and be open to new ideas. So sharing a little more As I did with Stephen on email, and so talking about it on the show, I talked about how I've made this massive shift away from obligatory produce consumption. And I think if you're going to go into this carnivore experiment, try to emphasize the most nutritious and the best source products. So you want to try for that grass-fed, pasture-raised, and stay away from the feedlot animals and the vastly inferior products that are out there in mainstream. So if you're going to eat some eggs or emphasize eggs in your diet, go find the pasture-raised, sustainable harvest egg labels instead of the conventional eggs. They're massively better in the key nutrients like choline, like omega-3. As soon as you crack the egg and you see that beautiful orange yolk from a pasture-raised egg, you can realize that this animal had a vastly superior diet to the chickens that were trapped in the coop and ate feed and laid an egg that has a watery kind of opaque yolk that doesn't have a lot of color to it and much less nutritional value. Same with the organ meats. It's such an important part of the animal diet and one that's widely overlooked and disregarded and disrespected in modern life. But all traditional cultures have emphasized organ foods from the very beginning. If you go eat traditional Mexican cuisine and you go to the carniceria, you can find some tripe. That's the intestine. You can find lengua, the tongue. You can find cabeza, or the brain. And this has been part of traditional culture for a long time. Traditional French cuisine obviously is heavily emphasizing organ meats. And Tanya Teschke's wonderful book, Bordeaux Kitchen, will help you get your organ meat game into top, top form. But if you want to tiptoe in that area, you're a little uncertain about ordering up kidney and liver and cooking it up, what I like to do is, this was a strategy that Paul Saladino introduced me to, is you get your grass-fed liver and you keep it frozen and then thaw it out just enough to be able to make thin slices with a really good knife. So you make several thin slices, salt the heck out of it with a nice high-quality ancient mineral sea salt, like real salt, and it tastes quite nice. It has no none of the offense or the smell that happens when you're trying to get that jellyfish texture liver cooked up a little bit and try to wash it down. So these little slices of frozen raw liver are palatable to almost everybody. And that's a really nice way to up your consumption of organ meats. And of course, if you're really wanting to get serious about this and do it the easy way without having to be a culinary wonder, just go to ancestralsupplements.com and try some of their 100% grass-fed, freeze-dried animal organ supplements from New Zealand. They have just about every organ you can think of, every part of the body in a bottled form now, things like colostrum, bone marrow. Their most popular product, obviously, is beef liver. They have a compilation product called Mofo that has Brad Kearns on the label because we've been promoting and developing this product together. It's been a wonderful journey. Their reception to the product has been fantastic. Mofo stands for Male Optimization Formula with Organs. So this is a compilation of different animal organs that's designed specifically to naturally boost your internal testosterone production. It contains testicles, prostate, liver, heart, and bone marrow. And you can read all about it at bradkearns.com/mofo. Since you're listening to the show, I will give you a 10% discount code called Kearns when you order direct at ancestralsupplements.com. You can also order Mofo on Amazon. So that's my huge, huge plug for emphasizing the most nutritious foods in the world, which are the nutrient-dense, high-quality animal foods, particularly animal organs. You can get them in bottled form, and also going for those oily cold-water fish and the other superfoods in the animal kingdom. Give it a try, and when you increase the nutrient density of your diet, you find yourself feeling full and satisfied and not so likely to reach for those sweets and treats and things that kind of leak into the diet when you're not getting enough nutrition. So speaking of your fondness for fruits and vegetables and all those antioxidant benefits and the things we read about in the superfoods in the plant kingdom, it's pretty clear now that these antioxidant benefits can be surpassed by fasting. And when we're in a fasted state is when the human body is working most efficiently with cell repair, detoxification, controlling inflammation. That's why Dude Spellings went into his tent and crashed out for 12 hours instead of chowing down on pizza, because his body was in an exhausted, inflamed, high free radical state from doing the crazy Grand Canyon double crossing. So when you realize that fasting is king, and it vastly kicks butt on any super juicy juice that you can get from the fresh squeeze juice store, or the various plant-based superfood supplements and things like that, when you realize that fasting is the centerpiece and nothing tops it, you know, it makes the carnivore style eating pattern more compelling. I'm going to call it carnivore-ish because I don't feel like severe and total plant restriction is appropriate for most people, maybe some people, but you got to test that out for yourself. And then the least offensive plant foods, such as fruit, right? Fruit is the final offering of the plant. The plant doesn't care if you pick the fruit, but the seeds and the basic building blocks of the plant, those are the things that have the most anti-nutrients, the most plant toxins in there, because the plant is trying to protect itself from predators. And so that's the story of the anti-nutrient, the rationale for restricting plant foods and giving yourself a break from the toxic effects, even the mildly toxic effects of these plant toxins, which are widely known. That's why we have to soak, sprout, ferment, and cook most of the plant foods to even render them edible and non-toxic. And so it's all a spectrum, it's all personal, but definitely worth trying if you have some of those goals, like dropping excess body fat, healing leaky gut issues, or dealing with nagging autoimmune and inflammatory conditions. And what a great way to close out this breather show with some wonderful questions and comments. Thanks everyone for participating. Go ahead, send us an email, getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And if you could take a little time to leave a review, oh my gosh, it has such a tremendous impact. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or another podcast player, just write a few words, plug that 5 stars, and it helps the show get more attention and more listeners. So thanks for spreading the word yourself too. Have a great day and keep getting over yourself. Da, 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 da. Thank you for listening to the show. We would love your feedback at getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And we would also love if you could leave a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a hassle. You have to go to desktop iTunes, click on the tab that says ratings and reviews, and then click to rate the show anywhere from 5 to 5 stars. And it really helps spread the word so more people can find the show and get over themselves, because they need to. Thanks for doing it.